The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Come to you from Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad to be back after another sick day. If you're just joining us, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, so I got my second vaccine shot on Sunday, Moderna. And I did not believe that it was going to make me sick, because I don't get sick. Even though I got sick last Monday, too. It's been very weird. Been a tough 8 days. But I said, I'm not going to get sick from this. And that thing, man, it just knocked me on my rear. I slept 8 hours Sunday night, got up to do show prep yesterday morning, couldn't keep my eyes open, called in, said I couldn't do the show, took a four-hour nap, got up for about an hour, took a bath, then I took a two-hour nap. I got up for about 3 or 4 hours, and then I went to bed and slept 12 hours. And I tell you what, when my alarm went off this morning, I think I could have easily slept another 4 hours. It was weird. And so as you hear all of the reports in the news about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been put on pause because 1 in a million people had blood clotting issues. And I will tell you, my oldest daughter was scheduled to get the J&J vaccine today, this afternoon. They texted her at 6:30 this morning and said, nope, not going to happen. And so she's been trying to find another one. All my girls are, you know, in that place where they're trying to decide, because I don't think there's a huge benefit to getting the vaccine. I don't think there's a huge downside to not getting the vaccine. And so they're making up their own minds. They're all smart. They'll know how to. And it makes a difference because my wife and I have both been vaccinated now. And we haven't seen our kids as much as we usually do, but we do a little family vacation coming up soon here, but it's been a really interesting challenge to hear about this, you know, Johnson & Johnson thing, and just brings back. I had a lot of really passionate text messages when I talked about this right at the beginning of the show today. A lot of people think that I'm a fool for getting vaccinated. It's so lightly tested. You're letting them push that into your body. For the first time, yesterday, I thought maybe this was the wrong idea. But now my head's a little clearer and I'm not quite as sleepy. Seriously, in a 33-hour stretch, I slept 26 of the 33 hours. That's unheard of for me. I have sleep issues. 26 hours is a week's worth of sleep for me. Maybe I should get a Moderna vaccine every weekend just so I can get caught up on my sleep. That'll do it. But no, I still think it makes sense. I still think the upside for my age is greater than the downside. As I've said, I don't think that's necessarily true for my daughters, but they're going to make up their own minds on that. But it is a very challenging time for people because nobody knows who or what to believe. Now, the president just doesn't seem to be that aware of what's going on. You have Governor Inslee, who pushed 3 counties back into phase 2, which is devastating for these businesses and these employees in Pierce and what were the other two? Cowlitz and was it Whatcom, Quitman. It's just devastating for people who've already had so much financial loss due to the COVID economy. And so, Jay Inslee, how are we supposed to believe what he says about this? Because just last week, he said, yeah, any county that fails 1 out of 2 metrics, we're going to push back to phase 2. And they found out, it's going to be more than half the state. And so then the next day they go, well, any county that fails both of the metrics, we're going to push back. And that's only 3 counties. But does that sound like it's based on solid health and science and reasoning? That one day it's, you got to fail two, or you got to fail one out of two. And then literally the very next day, you got to fail two out of two. This is not based on science. It's not based on reason. And then I will agree, Aaron Granillo had the soundbite with the state rep who said, how long does this emergency last, Mr. Governor, where you can just arbitrarily go in and wipe out some people's businesses? An emergency is like the Oso landslide. And it may last a few weeks as you help get things back on their feet. But we're looking at over a year of an emergency and unprecedented swipe of the pen powers for the governor of our state. At some point, it's got to stop. Give us all the information we need. We'll decide if we want to do the vaccine or not. And we'll live our lives. But we never were designed or programmed, frankly, as Americans, to follow somebody else telling us how we must live every aspect of our lives. So that's why I was out yesterday. I was sleepy pie between noon and three yesterday. But it's given me a insight on this vaccine issue, unlike any I did before. So I'm happy to share it with you. And some people said, why didn't you tell us? You must have gotten the first shot a few weeks ago. You never said anything. No, I didn't. It wasn't anybody's business. I mean, there are, believe it or not, there are a couple aspects of my life. It is weird because doing a talk show, it is a very intimate medium. And I feel like you and I have gotten very, very close over the years. And I've gotten used to sharing a lot of my life on the radio. But, you know, medical stuff, I don't want to share that. So I didn't talk about getting the first vaccine. I didn't tell people I was getting the second one on Sunday. So that was just one of those, I guess, rare things in life where I thought, I'm just going to keep this between me and my wife and my family. But now I'm fully vaccinated, inoculated, and ready to rumble, I hope. I'm still kind of sleepy. I still think I'm going to take a nap right at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
We have more breaking news in the wake of the police shooting in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, where a 20-year-old man was shot by a police officer night before last. And you know the story by now. Dante Wright is the 20-year-old. As he was being pulled over by the cops, he had expired license tabs. And then the cops checked his record, and he did have a warrant for involving a pistol, a gun. And so the cops were going to be extra cautious with him. They got him out of the car. A officer tried to handcuff him. Dante Wright started to tense up, which is what you do if you're getting ready to bust away. And then he did. He broke free from that officer and got into the car. And again, the cops don't know if he's got a gun. They have no idea. But what happened next is inexcusable. A 25-year veteran of the police department there, she thought she had pulled out her taser. And you will hear that in this audio, where she yells, and this is standard procedure. You yell, taser, 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 so your fellow officers will get clear before you fire the taser. But she says, accidentally, she had her gun in her hand. Oh, S word. I shot him. And then Dante Wright got in the car and drove a couple of blocks before he crashed, and then he died from that wound. Well, that 25-year veteran officer, her name is Kim Potter. The breaking news that we're just getting in is they now say they expect charges to be filed against her tomorrow in this shooting. And I got a lot of feedback from you. You know, if it was truly an accident, do you think that this 25-year veteran of the force should face jail time? Most of you believe that she's going to be charged with some form of manslaughter, perhaps involuntary. She resigned a few hours ago from her position, which I think is absolutely the right thing. You cannot have cops out there who, even if it's an accident, accidentally kill a 20-year-old young man. Just can't have that. She says that, and again, I've gotten a lot of feedback on this too, but the law enforcement people that I've talked to said that generally your gun is on your belt on the side of your dominant hand. So if you're right-handed, your gun is usually on the right side of your belt, and then your taser is on the left side. Vice versa for left-handed cops. But one of the reasons for that is so you don't grab your taser with the same hand that you grab your gun with. And that should lessen the chance of you accidentally firing a gun when you think that it's your taser in your hands. So I would love to have gotten lots of feedback on this. I would love to continue hearing from you. Do you think that resigning her job is enough punishment? Or do you think that this officer should face jail time, given what we now know about the facts of this case? And I will also say, a lot can come out, too. You know, George Floyd looked like cut-and-dried murder to most of us when we first saw that tape. Well, man, if you've been following the George Floyd trial, his defense has done its job in creating reasonable doubt about whether Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd. And that's why I'm always reluctant to have people jump to conclusions. And I'll tell you something else about this Minnesota shooting. There has been widespread rioting in the greater Minneapolis area the last two nights. And the police chief called it what it was, rioting. Listen to these so-called reporters who get all fired up when the chief correctly called it rioting.
Just so everybody's clear, I was front and center at the protest, at the riot. We did not.
There was no riot. That's multiple reporters. And I've seen the video. There was rioting. There was rioting in Seattle last night. March down Fifth Avenue, smashing the Starbucks, smashing other business windows. And here's the question. Before I get to the Seattle thing, Joe Biden, he was asked by reporters who were there for some other event about the Minneapolis shooting or the Brooklyn Center shooting. And Joe had no idea what to say, and he was completely overwhelmed by the reporters calling out their questions.
And I appreciate all the time you've given us.
Thank you, guys.
Hang up just a second.
Mr. President, would you like to see the issue of Minnesota? Wait a second.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to see you all again in a few minutes.
Whoa. I'm going to see you all in a few minutes. In other words, nobody has told me yet what to think and say about that shooting in Minneapolis. So, whoa. They will tell me what to think and say, and then I will come out and say it again in a few minutes. Very strange. So let's talk about what's going on in our city. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
There was a mass shooting in Seattle Sunday night. Central District. It's at an auto zone, near an auto zone store there, where several shooters opened fire on a group of people that included a two-year-old infant girl. The little girl had been in critical condition, I'm happy to tell you, but she's been upgraded, although is still in serious condition, with her gunshot wounds. Cairo 7 had the story about what happened in our central district.
It was business as usual at the AutoZone on 23rd and South Jackson, except for the shattered glass that still litters the parking lot.
It surprised you that what happened yesterday happened?
No, we've had shootings in this area before. Never quite this close.
Ed Hawkins says in the 21 years he has lived in this central area neighborhood, he can recall a handful of shootings. He and his spouse weren't initially sure they were hearing more gunfire Sunday afternoon.
We thought it was like big sheets of metal being dropped or something like that. That's what it sounded like.
Eyewitnesses told Seattle police just before 3:30 in the afternoon, an unknown number of shooting suspects approached the area near the AutoZone, then opened fire. Three adult males and a two-year-old girl were hit.
I heard a whole bunch of pops going off, and I looked up, and there was like three or four men with guns shooting to the east.
Ben Wong told Cairo 7 he ducked down on the floor of his own vehicle.
While I was down on the ground, one of the bullets came in and took out the window.
The shoot.
Okay, I want you to think about this. A mass shooting in Seattle, a two-year-old in critical condition for a day and a half, now serious, four people shot. I do not understand. I get the outrage over what happened to Dante Wright in Minneapolis. I do not understand why there isn't similar or greater outrage for a two-year-old infant being shot in Seattle's Central District by the people of our city and our region. And that's why I honestly do not believe there is sincerity in the concern and love that's expressed for Dante Wright. Because it seems to only be predicated on who the shooter is. If the shooter's a cop, we'll be outraged. If the shooter is, and they've said in the Central District shooting that the suspects are black men. If suspects are black men, well, then we won't be outraged. And I don't understand that. Where's the humanity in that? Why wouldn't we? Do we need police reform? Yeah. Yeah, what happened to Dante Wright should not have happened, and Kim Potter should not be a cop. And I have no problem saying that, that even if it's a pure accident, if your accident takes a life, you should not be on the job. But why isn't there any similar outrage for the shooters who kill hundreds of times more young black people in America, which are these shootings that happen on the streets of our major cities? Why is there none? You know, they had a bunch of candles last night in Seattle, and they arranged them to spell out the name Dante. Do you even know the name of the two-year-old infant who was shot? Do you care? Seems very disconcerting to me that we care more about what happens in other cities than in our own. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you. And then a blockbuster expose that puts a pretty big dent in CNN's reputation, or whatever reputation it still has, of being a news organization. Wait till you hear the undercover audio that has just been posted next here on the Dory Monson Show. I mentioned this on Friday. We should have asked Nicole to find the audio. I can't remember what day I said it, but when the Mariners signed James Paxton, $8.5 million for a guy who cannot get through a season healthy. And I said, I do not understand people spending that kind of money on somebody who has that kind of injury history. And I'm sorry that my I told you so has come true. But now with the confirmation today that he's not going to pitch the rest of the season. He threw 24 pitches this season. And he made $350,000 per pitch. $350,000 per pitch. I mean, that's more than I make in a month. Just kidding. Make less than that. So anyway, that's too bad about James Paxton. Got some new audio in today from our friends at CNN. And I will offer the caveat that I do whenever I play stuff from Project Veritas. Their track record has been really good at Project Veritas. But I usually prefer independent confirmation. But this is a story that most in the media have not picked up on. But the Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's operation, they got some undercover video of CNN operatives talking about how their huge goal this year was to destroy, or last year, was to destroy Donald Trump, get Joe Biden elected. I know that's not a big surprise to any of us, but when you hear them talking so casually about not being a news operation, but being a absolute arm of the Democratic Party, it's interesting to hear.
I think we got him through this term. We would always show shots of him jogging. Him in aviator shades and like you paint him as a young geriatric.
We were creating a story there that we didn't know anything about. You know, we were, so that's I think that's probably it.
Look what we did. We got Trump out. I am 100% going to say it. And I 100% believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted out or focused.
Okay, now let me tell you, these people you're listening to, Charlie Chester is a technical director at CNN, and then there are several other voices there where they say, yeah, we're propaganda. Our network is propaganda. And they've also told us what's next for CNN. And therefore, for the country.
Was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
Do you think it's going to be just like a lot of like fear? Like climate?
Yeah, fear sells. Fear sells. No one ever says those things out loud, but it's obvious. Trump was, I don't know, like his hand was shaking or whatever like that. We brought in like so many medical people to like all tell a story that like it was all speculation. And he was like neurologically damaged, like that he was losing it. He's unfit to, you know, whatever. We were creating a story there.
Okay, that's important. We were creating a story there from a network that likes to pretend that it reports the news, the world's most trusted name in news. And they would just find doctors who would say, yeah, Trump's handshaking, he has Parkinson's, or he has a neurological disorder. And they would just create that news story. Now, in all fairness, you could certainly make a case that, especially the primetime opinion shows on Fox, were doing the exact same for Trump against Biden. And so, but to hear people who claim to be journalists say, we created the news. And now in these undercover videos, climate change is next. CNN is going to try to flood the nation with a climate change message to help transfer trillions of dollars from the people of this country to the rest of the world.
Didn't know anything about, you know. I think there's just like a COVID fatigue. So like whenever a new story comes up, they're going to latch onto it. They've already announced in her office that once the public will be open to it, we're going to start focusing mainly on climate. It's going to be our focus. Like our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
So that is their next thing. They succeeded in getting Trump out of office, and now their next thing is going to be climate change. And again, the multi-trillion dollars that this is going to end up costing the people of this country. Now, what's interesting about this is if they are admitting that that was talked about in these corporate meetings, then are they going to go, I mean, I doubt it because it's the Biden administration that controls the Justice Department, but shouldn't they go after CNN for making a maybe billion-dollar in-kind donation? It was a campaign donation to get Trump and get rid of Trump.
Who's that? Head of the network, like, just...
Who's that? Is that Zucker?
Zucker, yeah.
Climate change is going to be the next COVID thing for CNN. We're gonna hone in.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was.
Okay, so that's multiple people on CNN who were caught on undercover video by Project Veritas. So get ready. COVID fatigue. They already succeeded with Trump. So the next thing is going to be climate change. It's going to be a full court press to, and we've already got a bunch of people brainwashed on that issue. And it's coming, just the way to transfer money from us to the rest of the world. That's the goal there. And at least they admit it. Okay, let me take a quick time out here, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Knocked down, but I got up again. Let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
And this may be a topic that I'll want to go a little more in depth on later this week. But I talked last week about how woke culture is killing us. Literally. When we do things like we tell our army, where they used to have a set of physical standards that army people had to meet, whether they be male or female. But it turns out most of the men were meeting these physical standards and many of the women were not. So the army said, well, we'll have different standards for women. That's not what our enemies do. They don't, you know, North Korea, China, the Taliban, they're not going to admit people just for the sake of political correctness. It's just not happening. But that's what we're seeing in our country. United Airlines announced that they are going to hire pilots based on diversity and not just their ability to take off, fly safely, and land an airplane. Woke culture is going to compromise safety at United Airlines. And then there's this. Woke culture also is talking about the Bible or talking about religion, about faith, about Christianity, with no connection to the Bible or to actual faith. I'll give you an example. Here's Don Lemon on CNN. He was talking about Christianity, and he said this.
But here's the thing. Jesus Christ, if that's who you believe in, Jesus Christ, admittedly was not perfect when he was here on this earth. So why are we deifying the founders of this country, many of whom owned slaves? And in the Constitution, the original one, they didn't want, they put slavery in there that slavery should be abolished because it was the way the king wanted. And then the Congress said, no way.
Okay. Jesus Christ wasn't perfect, he says. Well, that's not what Christians believe. He also said in that same interview, at a different point, he said, and everybody thinks you have to go through Jesus to get to heaven. You can get to heaven with your good works. And again, that's not what the Bible says. And look, everyone can believe whatever they want to believe, but don't lie about what the Bible says and try to pass it off to your many viewers as truth. When he said that you can get to heaven just through good works here, that's simply is not what the Bible says. In fact, yeah, and everybody says they hate when they proselytize. I don't care. I feel called to do this. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that's what Christians believe. Oh, my point is, don't get upset with me just because I quote the Bible. When Don Lemon says the exact opposite of that and passes it off as a truthful version of Christianity, it's just not so. And so this is where woke culture has gotten us, where there are no more absolute truths. There are no more facts. Best pilots shouldn't fly planes. Best military people shouldn't be in the military. You can get to heaven without believing in Jesus. It's just, it's a dangerous path that we're on. And for people of other faiths, I respect that you have a different faith. I really do. And I'm fine that Don Lemon believes that. Just don't pass it off as truth or as a accurate representation of the faith that you're trying to quote. All right. Also in our awesome audio, is this we can look forward to. We're going to get a verdict in the next few days, couple of weeks, in the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis. And a big TikTok. I'm a real big TikTok fan. But this is a TikTok influencer, I'm told. She is warning America that if the jury doesn't come back with a guilty verdict for Derek Chauvin, our nation will burn.
If George Floyd's murderer is not sentenced, just know that all hell is going to break loose. Don't be surprised when buildings are on fire.
Kid, I've talked about this before. And can you imagine being on that jury? Because they all know that what she said is true. And even if the defense of Derek Chauvin produces compelling evidence that he had deadly opiates in his system, that his lungs were already full of water, that he kept saying, I can't breathe, when he was standing next to the car before there was any struggle. If they have reasonable doubt that they can show, and you're on that jury, and you know that if the defense has done its job and planted reasonable doubt, and you vote not guilty, America will burn. That's quite a bit of pressure to put. And the jurors also probably know that they will be outed if they don't vote the right way. And that's the thing. Everybody else is telling us what the right way is. If they don't vote the right way, they will probably get, you know, at best doxxed, and at worst, their family, you know, if they have a workplace, it'll all be destroyed. It's going to be interesting when that verdict comes out. All right, and then finally, I know I played this late last week, but we didn't have it in our awesome audio because we got it so close to the end of the show. This is State Senator June Robinson explaining why she's voting to raise taxes, especially on the poor. It's for the children.
We are doing this for the kids who live with asthma, whose parents can only afford an apartment that's close to the freeway.
Okay, again, I tried to get her on the show today to find out if she has evidence that shows that parents of kids with asthma have a lower income and must live closer to the freeway. She chose to not come on with us. So I can't get an answer from her, but they did it for the kids with asthma. Okay, that's going to do it for us. I got to get out of here. Tom, John, coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here tomorrow. Hi, noon.
So you're going to get another job?
I don't think I'd like another job.
What are you going to do about money and bills and...
You know, I've never really liked paying bills. I don't think I'm going to do that either.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.